Heya, heya, what's going on? Welcome in. It is your time for our time. It's time for the 84th edition, the 84th episode of Three Guys Before the Game. Thanks so much for being with us. This show, titled, Now What? Now what do we do with this Mountaineer basketball team? 85-77, West Virginia falling to the Cowboys of Oklahoma State on Saturday. WVU now is in some significantly uncharted territory. They are 0-4 in Big 12 play, getting ready to go on the road to take on TCU tomorrow night. Joined on the program by the other two guys, 2 plus 1 equals 3, the Senator, Brad Howe, and the distinguished Mountaineer, Nathan Adrian. Our program is being brought to us in part by the fine folks from BetLucky. Now it's your chance and your opportunity to download the app, BetLucky.com. BetLucky makes sports betting easier. The first online sports betting app in the state of West Virginia lets anyone over the age of 21 with a smartphone get in on the action. More on BetLucky a little bit later on. You took some criticism, Nathan, last show for wearing a baseball cap backwards.
Yeah,
I don't know if you, obviously you don't read the reviews, and my gut tells me you don't care.
No, not too much.
Okay, moving on. By the way, we're lucky we're doing the program in this studio today. This is our normal studio. Hoppy Kercheval also uses this studio, and he's like three quarters away from some type of a virus that the World Health Council is going to have to get involved in and just basically start shutting down hemispheres. I mean, the guy's in here coughing, hacking. I mean, we had a hazmat team come in, full white outfit, almost like Ghostbusters, just to fumigate the studio after he left. So if we're not back here later this week for another episode, it's because we got it and we're probably gone.
Didn't that happen last year? Didn't Bob Huggins have to do that with the basketball team last year? Weren't there like 400 guys with the flu or something? They had to bring in a cleaning crew to the facility. Was that last year or the year before?
Well,
it happened recently, I believe.
I do recall that they had to go into the facility. Mm-hmm. And that might, were you playing that
night?
No, you didn't have
any. Was it just last year?
I don't know. Was that a foot fungus or what was that exactly? Some type of a pus?
Multiple flu outbreaks.
Was that a pus of some sort or thing that was kind of crawling around there a little bit? Well, right now the Mountaineer basketball team is sick, obviously. As I said, West Virginia goes down on Saturday. That was a game that you went into going like, okay, deep breath. Yeah, we're 0-3. However, we can go get this one and get a victory and see if you can get a little momentum. But instead, Oklahoma State comes in and wins for the fifth time in seven seasons. They now have a 5-2 record inside the Coliseum. They're the only team in the Big 12 that has a winning record in Morgantown. So for whatever. So they did come in and they had confidence. They had won here. A lot of these same guys a year ago, and they come out and they played extremely well in the second half, shooting 48% from the field, coupled with their 46% in the first half. And they beat WVU 85-77. This game will be remembered not only for the loss that West Virginia experienced, but for the fact that Bob Huggins sat down two of his starters, two of his faces on this team, Issa Ahmad and Wesley Harris. Were you surprised, Nathan, and what do you think that does, if anything?
I was surprised that they didn't play. Last time I talked to Huggs before the game, he made no intention or hint at that they weren't going to play. So I'm guessing either something happened at practice the day before or something was said between then and the game, and how they take it is whether or not it's going to be effective. If they're going to realize that they need to change something and make a conscious effort to do it, then it will change. I mean, nobody wants to sit down. Everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
So if they take it like that, then it will help. But if they take it as Coach Huggs being against them and – essentially being selfish and only taking it as a bad thing and not understanding that they need to improve to help the team, then no, it's going to work against them. So,
yeah, along that line, I mean, I talked to him right before the game started. He gave no indication. He didn't say, like, those guys aren't going to play today. He gave his starting lineup, and it didn't include those two, so you kind of thought,
eh.
And then when the game started, you thought, well, he's going to, you know, that old first TV timeout inside of 16 minutes. All right, guys, get out there. Lesson learned.
Well, if I had a guess, I'm assuming that they were taken out of the starting lineup, and then throughout the game they probably didn't seem too engaged to Coach Huggs. So at that point, he probably made the decision not to play them. I'm guessing that's him. That's how he operates. If you get taken out and you're not the biggest fan on the bench and you're not engaged and you're not trying to help still, then you're not going to get back in.
Yeah. I think that's also what led to them not playing from the past game, the Kansas State game. I don't think they felt that they were giving good body language and cheering on their teammates from the bench at Kansas State. I think that was one of the reasons why they didn't play on Saturday. Senator?
So is it a motivational move that you hope you get those guys back and they kick it in? Or is it now all right, I'm done. We're out. We're going to play young guys, as you saw Saturday at times with four freshmen in the lineup at the same time.
Yes to the first part.
I think it's yes to both parts. It depends on how they take it again. If they take it and they improve and they start playing their butts off and get back into it and start helping the younger guys play, then they're going to play. But if they don't do anything and they don't make a change, then no. I don't think Coach Huggs has a problem just playing his young guys. He knows where this team is going in the future, and he understands that he has to develop that.
16 games in, Nathan. Will it change? I mean, this isn't the second week of November. If you were trying to send the message here, the second week of November, you can kind of go, you got to get these guys straightened out before it goes. Now, you're four games into the league, and you're 16 games into the season. You've got 14 regular season games left, so you've passed the half point of games regular season. What do you think?
I'm not sure if it is going to change. I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom about it, but it seems to me now we have a lot of selfishness going on in this team, and that is really a cancer to a team sport. You got a lot of guys that are trying to play for themselves at this point, if you ask me. If you're 8-8 and lose four straight games and you're still posting pictures after games trying to have people look at you and things that you accomplished, then I think that's a problem. I mean, if it was me, I'd be embarrassed at this point, but that just doesn't seem to be happening.
Mm-hmm. Senator, young guys, did you see anything there? Or should I say first-year players?
Yeah, first-year players you did. So Nate always teases me. I try and pull positives out of this.
Well, I mean, you are. I mean, there's no question. You are a very, very optimistic guy.
Well, I'm trying to get glimmers of hope here, because at 0-4, as you're staring down the barrel of the rest of this Big 12 season, it's hard to find wins. So if you look for small incremental improvements, certainly Culver stands alone in that. He's showing again that he's got just basically unlimited potential. What he's doing is really pretty incredible. Outside of that, I go to Jermaine Haley. I thought he was good again on Saturday, and that's two straight now, and it's not just the production. So you'll take the 10 points, you'll take the 7 rebounds, and certainly like what the numbers tell you, but I think it's more about watching him, Nate. He looks like he's more comfortable, more in command. He's doing things with the basketball, not just catching it and moving it. He's driving, he's posting up. So I feel like his game has come a long way here in the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely, I think it has. And the thing with Jermaine, when you get JUCO players, what you get out of them the first year is a bonus. You're really recruiting them for their second year, because that seems to be when they really take off. That's when Jayshon got good. That's when Tariq got really good. So with him giving us anything this year, I think is a bonus, because next year I think he'll be really good.
Anything else catch your eye?
No, that's about it. That's about it.
I thought you were supposed to be the optimistic guy.
You know what was weird, though? Was that the quietest, most ineffective 31 points you've ever seen a player score with Beetle Bolden? I mean, I made a note there. This can't possibly be right. That he got his first basket with 12 minutes remaining in the second half. Got his first bucket. Hit a couple free throws in the first half. Got his first basket with 12 minutes to go in the second half. Am I accurate with that?
I believe you're correct.
So he scored.
Actually, yeah, you probably are correct. So he had two in the first half on free throws. Yeah. And then he had a two-pointer, and I gave him four. Then he made a three-point play. That was his first field goal in a three-point play. So he went 4-5, and then he went off.
Yeah. But that was a really quiet 31 points. Now, here's the lesson in the story. West Virginia should not have an individual score 30 or more against Oklahoma State, because they're 0-2 in the last two seasons when that happens.
Excuse me?
West Virginia's 0-2 against Oklahoma State in the last two seasons when a West Virginia player scores 30 or more points.
That's exactly why Nate never scored over 30. He always knew.
I limited myself so we could win.
The betterment of the team was always going to be what? When Nathan, you know, he gave it up. He just wanted to distribute. That was his calling card.
That doesn't work well for West Virginia here as of late. Since 2014, Tony, West Virginia just 2-4 in games when an individual scores 30 or more.
Give me that again.
Since 2014, West Virginia is just 2-4, two wins, four losses in games when a West Virginia player scores 30 or more, including 0-2 against Oklahoma State the last 2 years.
You said, Mr. Nate, players set themselves up from year one to year two, especially junior college players, and they show significant improvement. Well, today's episode, number 84, of Three Guys Before the Game, I went back over the last decade, and I pulled out some numbers on some players to see if, in fact, that's true. Not just JCs, but just players overall. And we'll go through some of these numbers in just a second, and I'll kind of give you a lean as to what normally is an indicator of someone going to get better. There's not 100%, hey, it's this, absolutely. This is the cutoff. You know they're going to be good, or you know they're going to be not productive. But what do they turn out to be? And I'll give you some names, and you can kind of see where they went, and then you can look at this year's team and look ahead and say, this is where they may go, or this is where they may not go. Our program is being brought to us by BetLucky, and now it is absolutely simple for you to download the BetLucky app. Easy and fun, and it makes sports wagering easy. It's the first online sports betting app in the state of West Virginia. Anyone over 21 with a smartphone, you can get in on the action. You have to be in the state of West Virginia to wager. And right now, special offer, BetLucky giving you 2x your first bet back in bonus money up to $20. So when you go to the App Store, look for BetLucky. It's all one word, BetLucky, and select an affiliated casino, either Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras. And when you cash out, you can transfer it back to your bank account or visit the casinos in person to get your winnings. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. So, I started doing, some call it research, some call it ciphering. And I wanted to see, over time, do players actually get significantly better from year one to year two? First guy I pulled up, Casey Mitchell. Classic example. Casey averaged 4 points his first season, and he averaged 14 his second season. He went up 10 points per game. Now, his minutes also tripled from 8 to 23. But what you'll find out is he is actually the exception rather than the rule.
What do you
mean?
Normally
doesn't happen like that.
Why? Guys normally don't improve?
Not by 6 points per game, not by 10 points per game. In fact, he was the largest jump that I found in all the guys. But anyway, just to give you an example, and again, these aren't all JCs, and these are some guys that went one and done, and not that they went to the league. Some guys came in, and some guys were two and done. But anyway, just to give you an idea, just kind of perspective, what can you expect? Truck Bryant, solid career. He went from 10 points to 9 points to 11 points to 17 points. But he averaged double figures the whole time. And he did go, if you go from freshman to senior, 17. Now, his turnovers, I didn't realize. Man, he turned the ball over a ton.
A lot.
I never realized it. I mean, he was never 2-for-1 assist to turnover, which is what you kind of you hope for. Kevin Jones, really good example. Kevin averaged 6-5 as a freshman, 14-7 as a sophomore, 13-8 as a junior, and 20-11 as a senior. So here's a kid that went 6-5 first year to 20-11. Increased his scoring average by 14, increased his rebounds by 6. Keaton Miles, 1.2 rebounds first year, 3.2 rebounds second year, and out. I think this is what you're going to find, folks. If you don't average an absolute minimum of 4 points in your first year, you never turn out to be anything.
Ooh, hold on. Say that again. That's a bold statement you're making there. Say it again.
If you don't average at least 4 points per game as a freshman, you normally don't last 4 years, or if you do, your numbers never change. There's a few that had four and did, But the majority that I have listed here, and I just kind of took them, just names, if you're not at four, a minimum of four, you normally don't come around. Pat Forsyth, one and done, 2.3 rebounds. Gary Brown, freshman, 7-4. Then he went as a senior to 7-2.
Yeah, well, Javon and Dax got here.
Understood. His three-point percentage went from 24% as a freshman, 39% as a senior. So he went up 15% in shooting the ball. Dominique Rutledge, 2.3 rebounds both years. Never changed, but he was under four. Jabari Hines, 7 points each year that he was here. He had 108 assists as a freshman, 52 as a sophomore. His shooting percentage went down, 42 to 35. His three-point percentage went down from 32 to 28. He digressed, and he left. Went to UMass. Kevin Noreen, freshman year, 3.2 rebounds. Senior year, 2.3 rebounds. Never changed. Terry Henderson went from 8 points per game to 12, freshman to sophomore, then left. Aaron Brown, remember him? 4 points to one. He went from 4 points to 1 point. Aaron Harris went from 10 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
Then he left. Elijah Macon. So here's that 4 point deal. He went from 4 points to 5 points to 6 points. Just kind of right around there. Brandon Watkins, 4 years, 3 points, three rebounds as a freshman, 4 points, three rebounds as a senior. Just stayed the same. Nathan Adrian, may know him. Some know him as a guy that wears his hat backwards. He just made it over the Mendoza line of 4 points per game as a freshman.
I was wondering if I was over or under. And you're wondering.
You want to know if you were an exception
yeah.
or not?
You went from 5 points as a freshman to 10 points as a senior. You went from three rebounds as a freshman to six rebounds as a senior. And obviously, you had your whole health deal, and so that was kind of, you know, jagged that things up there, both as a sophomore and as a...
But he doubled production in both categories.
He doubled production. Devin Williams went from 8 points to 12 points to 13 points. Rebounds from 7 to 8 to 10. So he just, got, you know, he incrementally got better. Juwan Staten went from 8 points, because he came in as a sophomore, he went from 8 to 18 to 14. Because that's when Javon got here. So he went from 8 to 18 to 14. And his assist went from 101 to 193 to 139. Jonathan Holton, he went from 8 to 9 points per game and went from 6 to 8 rebounds. So you know what I'm saying? You see what I'm – you getting something here, Senator? I mean, they don't – you normally don't go Casey Mitchell 4 to 14.
You got a lot of different guys there. That's not a bad little theory
right.
to start with.
So here's Daxter Miles. Give Daxter Miles credit. 7 points as a freshman to 9 points as a sophomore to 9 points as a junior to 13 points as a senior. Rebounds, he went 2 to 2 to 3 to 3. Steals, 38, 46, 46, 47. Always in the neighborhood. Assists, really impressive. He went from 34 assists and 25 turnovers as a freshman to 43 and 43 as a sophomore, 1-1. He went 54 to 27 as a junior, 2-1, and he went 110 to 51 as a senior. So that's a significant improvement. Javon Carter, I don't know where he is nowadays, don't know if he's still playing or not, but he went 8 to 10 to 14 to 17, just going up a ladder. Assists, 62 to 41. 62 assists, 41 turnovers. 114 to 58, 2-1 basically. 137 to 67, 2-1 basically. And then as a senior, he goes 246 to 98. And his rebounds went from 2 to 3 to 5 to 5. And his steals went from 67, 59, 92, 112. Right?
Yeah.
Who was always in there working?
Javon.
Yeah. Tavon Myers. He's one of the exceptions here, Senator, on that four-point rule. He went from 2 points as a first-year player to 6 points. So he tripled. and his shooting went from 36 to 44%.
Tavon also got lost in a lot of good guard.
Yeah,
if Tavon was on this team, he'd be very productive.
I think. My gosh, he'd be taking the ball to the hole, wouldn't he? Oh, man, right, basically. Sagabaugh Kanate. This is including this year's numbers. He went 4 as a freshman, 11 as a sophomore, 14 this year so far. His rebounds have gone from 3 to 8 to 8. So he was no question. He was on the upward trend. Beetle Bolden. Here's that four-point thing again. 4 to 9 to 12 this year.
Okay.
Assists have always been a 50-50 guy. 8 to 9, 39-36, 37-34. He's always 1 to 1. Lamont West. Check this out. He went 6 points as a freshman, 9 points as a sophomore, and 12 points this year. But his shooting percentage has never changed. He shot in his career from the field 40, 41, and 40, and from 3, 34, 34, 34. Never changed.
So his point production jumps more because shots. He's getting more shots.
And his turnovers, same deal, 16 to 13, 22 to 37, and 15 to 18. So what do you take out of all those numbers other than a headache? It's this. You ready? You pretty much, if you're going to become a big-time productive player in this program, I think it's fair to say you have to average 8 points or more. Sorry, Nate. You have to average 8 points or more if you're going to become a big upper-level scorer. And so why am I saying that? Well, I'll go right against my rule. Kevin Jones went from 6 to 20. Gary Brown went from 7 to 7 in his career. Henderson went from 8 to 12. Aaron Harris went from 10 to 17. Devin Williams went from 8 to 13. Juwan Staten went from 8 up to 18, then to 14. Holton, 8 to 9. Daxter from 7 to 13. Javon Carter, 8 to 17. Sags, 4 to 14. Beadle, 4 to 12. Lamont, 6 to 12.
You didn't do Deshaun, but he went 10 to 17.
Deshaun went 10 to 17. You know another one I didn't do, and I got it right in
you
front of me.
You left both of my examples.
Well, here's Tariq. You want Tariq? Got it.
I do. Because okay. He went from what?
He went from 4 to 9 to statistically 9.5, which you can call it 10. So in the course of 3 seasons, he went from 4 to 10.
And won Sixth Man of the Year.
Won Sixth Man of the Year. And his shooting percentage went from 3, from 21 to 41 to 38. And his free throws went from 69 to 71 to 74. Yeah, and steals went from, how about this, 38, 53, 63. So my point to all of that is this. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
What in the world does it mean for this year's team?
Right.
So yeah. I think what you have to do is start to apply some of these metrics on some of these guys.
So you want to do it?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Go do it. Because there's some guys then that if they're going to turn out to be productive scorers, have to get it kicked in here in the second half of the season to bring those averages up, because the only two guys that fit those parameters right now are Brandon Napper and Jermaine Haley. Napper averaging 4.3. Haley, as we mentioned just a minute ago, at 3.7. Jordan McCabe around it. He's at 3 points a game.
Derek's still a freshman.
Who's that?
13. I said Derek's still a freshman too.
No, I'm already counting him in.
Okay, good.
I'm already counting him as if he stays, he's one of the guys. He's already in. He's in the clubhouse.
All right, good.
He's posted his score.
Good.
We're projecting down beyond him. He's an exempt. Emmett Matthews, 2.5. Gordon, 2.5, 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two guys basically sitting in that, one guy in, two right around that if it continues. Two more, three more that need to kick some points in here in the back half.
Don't you find that, though? I think that statistically you could build a grid and build a grid doing what I said at a higher level, more mathematical, get some kids in there or some, you know, people to do it. And I think you can project over a period of time, don't you think, that you can say the percentage is 85% of the time when this person has these kinds of numbers, 85% of the time, this is what it's going to be. Maybe there's a 15% chance that it could go to this, but 85% of the time, that's what it's going to be. I find that fascinating.
It is fascinating because I'm trying to poke some holes in that as to what variables could change that would throw those off? And you factored one of those in, because you would look at one of those would be, you look at a guy in his first year that just didn't play a lot of minutes, but stays in the program and elevates himself up. There probably aren't a lot of examples of those, right?
I went from basically when Hugs got here, and I just looked at names. And some of them, you know what, dude? I might have like early stages of forget. There's a couple names on there. I don't even remember what they look like. Vlad? Remember Vlad?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember. I mean, now I do. Now they just said that it kind of looked like Brozianski from TCU, right? Kind of like a kissing. But you remember him? Billy D. Williams? Now I remember the name. But, I mean, there's some names on there you go like, what? He was what on the roster? But they hardly played. They, like Tommy McCune, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah, one and done. But I do think that you can look at it and you can make a projection. Not all the time. Not 100% foolproof. But you can get an idea if guys are going to be able to be productive or not. And I say that for this reason. Based on the situation, I'd look at it and go like, cut our losses.
What's
cut
that
your
mean?
Losses.
What does that mean?
It means call them in and say, hey, guess what? You're probably better off somewhere else. You at least extend it. You're not running them. You're not running them, but you say there's a very strong chance.
Tony, last time we were 13-19, how many people left?
A lot. Right? But I mean, it's fair to both sides. We're like, this is not trending toward where you need to be. And Hugs is the first to admit it. They've made mistakes. They missed. And sometimes you just miss. Sometimes you just miss. But you can't miss a bunch.
At the same time.
At the same time. You can miss one. Exactly right. You can miss one and it doesn't come back and hide. But if you've got a specific position and you miss on it multiple times at the same time.
So when do you start? Do you know that now?
I think you have a feeling, but you let the thing play through. You try to win every single game right now. Do everything you possibly can to win games. Absolutely. But I think you can't. Here's why. Don't put yourself back to the situation where we were before Press Virginia started.
It's an interesting debate, because the battle there, or the sliding scale, is how many of those guys fall into that versus, so it's the same old question, where you're playing four freshmen the other day. If you're playing four freshmen because they're going to be with you for the next 3 years, you take your lumps, right? You take your lumps and say, all right, that's fine, because they're going to grow up and get better. The only way to get better is to play minutes. But if you're playing them now and they're not going to be here next year, and then a whole new crop of new guys comes in, then we're having this same discussion next year with a whole new set of new guys, and you're not necessarily any further ahead than what you are right now.
You can't have this discussion again next year.
Well, if you run four or five guys, if that roster changes.
No, you don't understand. You can't have this discussion again next year. Fix it. You got to fix it.
Okay, but listen to what you just said.
I understand what I said.
Show me three guys that have come in 1 year and had a major impact in their first year.
It's hard.
So if three or more guys are out this year and three more come in, where's the upside next year? Are you staring at this same discussion at this point next year?
Can't do it. You got to hope that Oscar comes in, right? You got to hope that Derek Culver remains, right? Okay. Nothing happens there. Nothing gets off there. And then you've got to be able to find, and I don't think it's a massive thing, but you gotta hit the lottery and get a guard.
This is a guard's game. It doesn't matter how many good bigs you have to have a guard.
You gotta hit a couple, a guard or two. You gotta have two more guards, and you gotta hit them. You gotta hit. I know what you're saying. You gotta go against the numbers.
Napper and Haley have to get better next year. Those are your two guys that are there. And then somebody else has to either come in, or one of these guys has to play above what history tells you.
You got to bring in a man.
Got to bring in somebody that can pass the ball. You're going to look at their points, but let's look at their assist to turnover ratios right now.
Got to bring in Jimmy Chitwood.
It's not good.
Got to bring in Jimmy. Jimmy Chitwood's got to come in.
I know. That's what I'm saying to you.
Got
to
bring in one of those kind of guys.
You go back through history. You just named a bunch of them. How many of those guys in year one, JUCO or otherwise, put up big points and change the complexion of your team?
You have a better chance of Jermaine Haley mm-hmm. maturing as a second-year player and becoming that guy.
Correct.
Then you go out there and you go into the season, you go, I got a 6'7 point guard that understands the offense, that can play, and then you go from there. Then it's not as strenuous on you where you can go out there and get a 2 and kind of go from there.
That's what I'm saying. It can't just be a total roster switch for next year and expect a Sweet 16 to pop up. History shows that's not how this works here.
No, when you get to this point, it's going to be a rebuild. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's going to be exactly like after 2012-13. After you went 13-19, it's going to take a year or two to get back to where you want to be. The year after that, we went, 17-19? I don't even know where we went. 19, I don't know. Whatever we went to NIT and lost in the first round. It's not like it's going to be a quick fix again. I think it's going to be a year or two before we're back to what we're used to being at now.
That was the Georgetown NIT game, right?
Yeah.
That was that year.
In the high school gym.
Well, they don't call it the high school gym. I think they...
That's what I'm going to call it. When you have to wheel in metal bleachers... It's a high school gym.
That was that team finished 17-16.
Yeah,
that team finished 17-16.
It's not a great year, but it was better. It is trending upwards. I think we need to start to trend upwards.
So just to give you an idea, so that 14 team on the roster, that was a 17-16. So then the 15 team, which was the first year of Press Virginia, 15 went 25-10. So you improved by 8. You went up 8 games in the course of a season.
That's a big jump.
It is a big jump. It is a big jump. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Boy.
Well, did we solve anything?
Well, yeah, we solved that you're not optimistic. That's what we solved. You're not optimistic at all.
I thought I was the only one that gave the positive to
you. In all seriousness, I think it's a good conversation to have. Like, literally take a look at the history of it and see what it does project out.
Well, I think it's a relevant conversation to have, one, given how the results are turning out this season, and two, given the fact you saw so many young guys not only playing, but playing at the same time the other day.
Well, I think Coach Huggs is trying to figure out who he can and cannot trust on this team. That's the biggest thing for him is trust. He needs to be able to trust that you're going to go in and do what you're supposed to do, not necessarily score a bunch of points, but you're going to play defense properly, you're going to get the ball where it needs to go, and you're going to know the offense, and he can put you in without having to worry about you screwing up.
Solid point. All right. West Virginia TCU is next up on the schedule. Won't be easy, but hey, go out there and you play. You never know what's going to happen from one game to the next. Special thanks to our sponsor, BetLucky.com. Don't forget to download the BetLucky app and just designate Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras and check it out. We're back again later this week. 3 guys before the game. We will see you for the Senator for back hat wearing Nathan. We are out. Thanks for being with us. Take care.